Welcome to the Exit Coach Radio Show, the show for baby boomer business owners who are looking for cutting-edge information as they plan their 3 to 10 year business succession and exit. Every week, we interview top professional advisors for their best tips, strategies, and precautions so you can be well-planned. And don't miss our one-minute Exit Coach tip of the day on ExitCoachRadio.com. And now, here's your host, the Exit Coach, Bill Black.
Welcome and thanks for listening. This segment of the show is brought to you by Brad Hall & Associates and features Minda Wilson, who's joining us from Affordable Healthcare Review. Minda, welcome to the show.
Thank you very much for having me.
My pleasure. I'm excited. We're going to talk about healthcare legislation and how you help to drive some of that. And before we get into that, Minda, we always like to get to know a little bit about our guests. So can you share a little about your background and how you got started in this line of work?
Well, I'm an entrepreneur who sold my healthcare business at the end of 2012. And as a result of looking at how the Affordable Care Act was going to affect my business, I became very concerned about how it was going to affect other people and how it was going to affect not just employers, but also employees. And I'm a solution-oriented person, so I wanted to, in a non-biased, non-political way, help people deal with the consequences of the act as it was implemented. I mean, it's really a passion of mine. I feel very strongly that there are solutions that can be helpful, and I want people to have access to that information.
Well, that's great. So after many years in the healthcare business, you formed Affordable Healthcare Review, and how long has that company been in existence?
I started it after I sold my business, 2013. It's a nonprofit organization. The services for, large businesses have access to a lot of services. Smaller businesses, individuals don't have access to the same kind of very sophisticated advice that they need, and yet they're subject to the same regulations. So who helps them?
Right. Well, and you're seeking the truth, basically, the unbiased information to help people make informed choices and decisions, but also to help understand what all the changes are. And there's a ton of changes. So you must be very busy right now.
I am. And it's wonderful. It's great.
So let me ask you a question. How will increases, we're hearing a lot about the minimum wage going up, how will increases in the minimum wage impact healthcare?
Well, it's really sort of sad. One of the great benefits of the Affordable Care Act has been the expansion of Medicaid in California and nationally. A lot of people have had access to health care in states like West Virginia, where it's where a very large number of people have taken advantage of the expansion of Medicaid. They've seen people are healthier, workforces are healthier, and emergency room visits have significantly decreased as a result of access to health care by lower income people. But so that's the good news, right? But the bad news is that the access to Medicaid is tied to wages. And so, for example, the ceiling for Medicaid access is $15,600 for a single person, and a minimum wage earner makes $15,200. So if they raise the minimum wage to $10.10, that person is going to lose their health care.
So there's no corresponding increase in the ceiling for, or the floor for Medicaid then?
It's not in the minimum wage law. So one of the things that we have to be proactive about is say, look, if you're going to raise the ceiling for minimum wage, you need to raise the Medicaid ceiling, because look at this, a lot of companies have minimum wage workers that have access to Medicaid, and the health care is free. And worse, because you can only sign up for health care through the end of March, anyone who gets kicked off of Medicaid, mm-hmm. it's not considered an event that allows you to access a healthcare policy. So you're uninsured until 2015. You can't get health insurance.
Which doesn't make sense to me at all, the way that that was drafted either. It's just, you just leave people uncovered if they miss their time slot or if an event happens. Is that the way it's set up right now?
Well, there are certain events that if they happen to you, you can sign up for healthcare. So if you lose your job, you can sign up for healthcare. There's an exception on the exchange. If you get divorced and you got your healthcare through your spouse, you can sign up for healthcare. But losing Medicaid coverage is not one of those exceptions. Making too much money.
And so by changing the minimum wage without a corresponding increase in the floor for Medi-Cal eligibility, you're doing a huge disservice to a large number of people.
Right. It makes no sense.
Has there been any suggestions or overtures or legislation introduced to help remedy this problem at this point?
No. Right now, the full emphasis of the administration is on simply raising the minimum wage.
Wow. Interesting. And so one of the other questions we had was, how will legislative changes being implemented impact retirement?
Well, that's another interesting issue. So $790 billion of costs for the Affordable Care Act are supposed to be come from the Medicare budget. So okay. What that means is $790 billion are going to be cut from Medicare. So people who are retiring are making assumptions about Medicare that it will be the same for them and the coverage will be the same. And that's not a good assumption to make.
What are some of the changes, for instance, that people could
So an example of one of the changes that's actually been enacted is that for men over 79, so 80 and above, if they get prostate cancer, they are no longer covered for chemotherapy or radiation therapy. But mm-hmm. there are a lot of healthy 80-year-olds in this
sure.
country.
Oh, sure.
And the odds of a man who's over 79 who is not getting prostate cancer getting it are 100%.
Right,
if they
yeah.
live long enough.
Yeah, they say at that point you're more likely to die with it than of it. If you get to that age, but a huge number of people will have it, that's for sure. What other changes or what other impact will there be?
So one of the things they're looking at now is mammography. So they're saying women over 75 no longer need mammograms.
Hmm.
So where's the detection for breast cancer going to come in?
Yeah, do we just forget about people when they get to that age? Is that where we're headed with this?
Well, that's a concern. So there's this organization called the IPAB, the Independent Payment Advisory Board, that's part of the Affordable Care Act that's being established to make decisions like this. But again, how many people have heard of that organization? How many people are aware of what's being done? Not a lot. So I act as a voice, and you know, we need to make our voice louder so that when they make these cuts to Medicare, they're a bit more thoughtful. You know, they don't use these bright line rules based strictly on age.
Yeah, and where do groups like AARP and other senior groups come into play on some of these? Aren't
they aren't really being active in this area? It's very surprising to me.
Yeah, it is to me too. Good for us to know, good for our listeners to know. And what can people do to insulate themselves and their families from the consequences of some of these changes?
Well, one of the things that they can do is they can track the changes, and in some instances they can update their supplemental coverage. So an example would be, let's say they have a parent, and the parent bought their policy in July. And an example would be there's a change in the Medicare coverage rules so that instead of 90 days of coverage in a rehab facility, they've reduced it to 30. So when a person bought the supplemental coverage, it said 90 because that was the Medicare rule when they bought it. So they need to follow letters, correspondence that they get so that they cover the gap between 31 and 90 days. Mm-hmm. So that if their mom or dad slips and fall or they slip and fall, their coverage for care between days 31 and 90. So that's the first thing they can do is just be proactive. They can, through us, they can be made aware of these things too. I mean, the other thing they can do is talk to ARP and get ARP to be more proactive in monitoring these changes and letting people know about the options for supplemental coverage in a way other than sending them junk mail, which people don't pay attention to.
Yeah, I agree with that. I mean, I've been a member of AARP for 5 years, and I get a considerable amount of mail that I just have stopped paying attention to because it's just another solicitation as opposed to an important bulletin on changes that are happening.
Right, and how do you know? So when they send you the letter that says you're no longer covered for rehabilitation care between dates 31 and 90 and you need to update your supplemental coverage, it looks just like all the other mail you got saying, buy this, buy that.
Right, exactly. Yeah. That you're ready to throw away as soon as you open your mailbox.
I mean, we're as members of ARP, you have to have them distinguish what is, they make the junk mail look like the important mail so that you'll look at the junk mail, but maybe there has to be, as a membership organization, maybe it has to be something a little bit more, the way they present the important information, maybe that has to change.
Right, exactly, yeah. Minda, it sounds like you've really got your finger on the pulse of all of these changes, and there have been considerable changes, and they'll probably keep coming at us. How does your firm work to keep businesses or individuals aware of these changes?
Well, we're basically a nonprofit organization. It's self-funded. And so we have tools that we provide to people at no cost to help them be compliant, to help them, and they can contact us with any questions that they have. www.affordablehealthcarereview.com, and we try to provide information to them and refer them to people who can be helpful to them. And that's basically what we do.
What do people find when they come to your website?
So there's a cover page. There's a tab that they can go to, a contact tab page where they can go to ask questions or look for information. And at the top, they see my blog, Minda's blog, that actually has articles about things that are affecting them, like taxation of benefits, which is another big issue that's coming up,
mm-hmm.
Things like changes in Medicare laws, things like the minimum wage issue that we discussed. I mean, there's a number of topics that are discussed that are important to people and are affecting people.
Business owners might get this information from their brokers, but maybe not. It's all different out there, right? So this is a place where people can kind of dial in and check back every so often, especially when your blog posts come out, and see really what's going on so that they can be aware of what's happening so they can have better conversations with healthcare professionals.
Right. And the other thing is that brokers are, for example, for businesses, for small businesses, brokers are there to sell you a product. They aren't there to say that for your employees, you have to issue this statement on this day, you have to provide this information, you have to offer these services. That's not what they're there for. They're not there to act as your compliance department. So you need to know what your requirements are. And now the enforcement of these regulations is being done by the IRS. So the one thing you don't want to do is trigger an audit because you didn't send out a form to your employees that they're entitled to and somebody complained.
Okay, so yeah, I agree that most brokers are there to put you with a product that makes sense, and some are more customer service oriented than others, but you're keeping your finger right on the pulse of the information that people need to get to be able to have sensible conversations and figure out if they're running behind in these benefits. And that's a very important service.
Right. We're there to make sure that, you know, like, brokers are not attorneys. I mean, I have a great deal of respect for brokers. They do a really good service, but they're not attorneys. They're not tax specialists. They aren't reviewing the laws to see what the compliance issues are. That's not their responsibility, and nor do they say that they're doing that for you. But businesses often don't have the resources to have a compliance department, to have a tax attorney on staff. They can't pay for, you know, a lot of these services that maybe large companies get from their accountants. You know, they need help. So this is an opportunity for that. And on an individual level, you need to keep up with changes as well, because as we discussed on the healthcare side, you know, your coverage is changing, and the only reason you would know that it's changing is because somebody sends you a notice in the mail.
Well, I think you're doing a tremendous service, and it's a great resource for our listeners, and it's www.affordablehealthcarereview.com. Yes. And is that the best way for people to reach your information?
It is. It is. The best way always is via the web.
Go to the website, look at affordablehealthcarereview.com, see what's on there, and get informed about what's happening with your healthcare benefits. And keep in touch. Is there a way that they can subscribe to your blog so that they can get new additions as they come out?
Things are coming out all the time. So, okay. You know, I would recommend visiting. You know, come by, visit, say hello.
Got it. Just keep checking back, because things will continue to change. And I'd like to keep in touch with you as well, Minda, so we can keep our listeners abreast of what the changes are. So perhaps as we hear about new changes from you, then we can tell them to go back to your site. And I'd like to thank you for coming on to the show. It's been great, and hopefully we can have you on again and get an update from you.
Thank you so much. I appreciate it. Every opportunity to get the word out is really helpful.
Thank you for your work, and keep up the good work. I've been talking with Minda Wilson of Affordable Healthcare Review, and we're going to take a short break, so please stay tuned.
You're listening to ExitCoachRadio.com, the information station for age 50-plus business owners, where we're interviewing over 250 top advisors for their best tips, ideas, and precautions so you can be well-planned. We upload new one-minute tips every day. ExitCoachRadio.com. Come listen for a minute.
Thank you for listening to Exit Coach Radio.